time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutrition educator. Darlene Kvist is taking a day off to attend a family shower. We wish you well today, Dar, and while you are gone, I just want to take this opportunity to let all of our listeners know, because Dar would never tell you herself, just how hard she works, tirelessly bringing the latest in nutrition and health to hundreds of people. It is truly a pleasure to see so many people improve their health and their quality of life simply by embracing a few sound nutrition principles. This truly is the power of real food. And today, we're going to be connecting the dots for you. We have a wonderful topic here today that affects all women at some time in their life. And that topic is menopause. To help us with this very important topic today is our menopause expert, and I really mean that when I say that. She is an expert, knows all the latest research, is Sandy Greenquist, registered nurse, nurse midwife, and she comes from the Menopause Center at United Hospital. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thanks, Wendy. It's always a pleasure to be back.
Yes, it is, and it's a pleasure to have you here. And Sandy, I know that you've actually moved since we last had you on the show. Where can we find you now?
Well, we're actually just right down the block from where we were. We've moved into a different building at United Hospital. We're right across the street from the main hospital in the doctor's professional building. So we have our own suite now.
Oh, right. How sweet.
Yes, it really is. We've grown enough. I say we got too big for our britches and had
I like it.
Move into our own space. So it's really exciting.
That is exciting. And so what is your phone number and your website? And
the website is unitedhospital.com, and actually we have also launched a message board so women communicate with other women, ask questions, find out what other people are doing by getting onto our message board. Our phone number is the same. It's 651-241-5490.
Okay, great. I love that message board idea because women do need support and have a lot of questions during these menopause years.
And it's nice to know that other people are going through the same
thing. That I'm not the only one, or is this, am I going crazy?
Right. And to get ideas from other people.
Exactly. That's great. That's wonderful. Well, it's such a pleasure working with this topic, Sandy, as we both know we are so passionate about. Yes. And what we're doing here is combining the best of nutrition and hormone research to help women eliminate a lot of the symptoms associated with perimenopause and menopause. Sandy, as a nurse midwife, how did you get into specializing in menopause?
My attention actually got raised at the beginning because of my own experience. As I was in my early 40s and started having symptoms that I couldn't quite explain away. And I, being a midwife, I knew enough to know that it was hormones, but I really didn't know a whole lot about perimenopause or menopause. And also, of course, the women whose babies I'd been delivering were beginning
now
to ask me questions.
Exactly. Menopause with
we
you.
We were aging together. And so I just started studying and started really purposefully seeing more and more women 40 and beyond, and focusing my attention and my education on that that period of our lives. And eventually, over a period of about 15 years, really half of my practice became menopause. I was doing full scope midwifery and delivering babies half the time, and then working with women at the other end of the reproductive cycle the other half the time. And 5 years ago, decided to do it full time. Decided I was old enough that I didn't need to stay up all night catching babies anymore. And so then opened the menopause center at the United Hospital, and that's all I do now.
And that's great. And we were talking before the show, Sandy, that really what you're doing at United Hospital is very unique.
Yes.
Like there really isn't any other place that specializes, and that you can sit down with a practitioner and spend 40 minutes to an hour, really, is the what you spend with your clients.
Right. The first visit is scheduled for an hour, and it's just it's the only dedicated menopause practice anywhere around.
And I think that's just wonderful. And
so do
and
I.
we owe that all to you. Well, when we're talking about menopause, I like what Dr. Christine Northrup says in her book about creating health during menopause. And that's what we really want to focus on. She says to make the most of the menopausal transition, I encourage a woman to think of it as a process during which she'll be creating the healthy body she needs to last her until the end of her life. The menopausal transition is an excellent time to focus on the prevention of problems that, while not necessarily directly associated with menopause, appear to intensify at this stage. I think we can agree with a lot of that.
Amen.
And Sandy, you are a perfect example of this, you know, preparing for the rest of your life. When we look at your own bone health and why you have all the women that come in get a bone scan, and then in your experience, you know, because your story of your own bone health is so remarkable and directly affects the rest of your life.
Right.
So can you just tell us about that? Take a minute or two.
Yeah. I had a bone scan several years back and found that I had osteopenia, which surprised me at the time because I had been a good exerciser and, you know, getting my calcium for quite a long time by that time. But we really didn't know that much about osteoporosis at that point and bone health and bone maintenance.
So for those that don't know, what I mean, we know what osteopenia is, but can you just explain to some of our listeners what that is exactly?
In a woman's life, we, beginning way back even before puberty, we need to have the basic building blocks, and estrogen and calcium are two of the most important for laying down bone. And it's a process of new bone being built and bone being broken down over our life. And we build it more rapidly than we break it down until we start to get older. And at menopause, we start losing bone more rapidly. For 7 years of menopause is the most rapid rate of loss in our lives. And I'd like to know what a woman's bone health is going into menopause,
right,
so that we've got a baseline. Unfortunately, there are many of us, like me, who, before we ever even got to menopause, already probably just didn't lay down that base of bone. I wasn't a milk drinker. Way early in life, I wasn't a big exerciser. I really didn't start that until later in life. And so my best guess is I never laid down that base of bone. So for years, I was able to, you know, I would increase it a little bit over from one bone scan to the next, and then I'd lose a little bit. But I wasn't really able to make
as much progress
as I wanted. And 2 years ago, I guess it was about a year and a half ago, I was real frustrated when I had gotten another bone scan and had actually lost some more. And I asked Dar. I said, okay, what's the best supplement for me to be on? And she told me about Pro Bono, which is a product that I get at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. And the key for me on this product was that the company guarantees it's orthomolecular, and they guarantee that if you take their product, that you will gain a minimum of 2% of bone mass, bone density in a year. And I had had a pretty low year because I ended up having some pretty major surgery. So I hadn't been able to exercise. I had changed nothing except the Pro Bono, and I did gain 2.9% in my spine and 2.4% in my hips.
Which is very significant when we're looking at bone scans, isn't it?
And it was change that I hadn't been able to make any other way. And it just underlines for me how so important it is that we're getting really good supplements. I mean, I was doing everything else that I could be doing with the exercise and my diet, but it just wasn't enough. And I needed to get the best supplements in there too to help me really bone up.
Bone up. Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is a woman show,
that.
Right? So, but yes, Sandy, and I mean, our bone health is so important for those of us that plan on living to be 100 years old.
And, well, you bet. I said to you earlier,
working.
that I'm not very tall. Matter of fact, I'm pretty short, and I don't need to get any shorter.
Any shorter,
no,
right.
I want to be walking upright as long as I can.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the other thing that Christine Northrup says on about women's experiences during menopause is that it really depends on a multitude of factors. It's not simple. From her heredity to her expectations to her cultural background to her self-esteem and her diet. So would you agree with that, Sandy?
Absolutely. I think each one of those pieces carries a lot of weight. And one thing that I mentioned to you earlier when we were talking just about this topic was how important I also think her peer group is. You know, we need to be doing
exactly.
this together. We need to be sharing information and supporting each other as we go through through this process.
Which is, you know, like your message board. That's a great way to do it. And we'll be talking a little bit about our class that's coming up and people can join us there, but it's time to take a break already, and we'll be right back with our conversation on menopause in just a minute.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Ooh-hoo. 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 Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutrition educator. Our topic today is how to gracefully go through menopause, and my special guest is Sandy Greenquist from the Menopause Center at United Hospital. If you have any questions for us today on menopause or perimenopause, or maybe you're even younger and want to know how to build up your bones before you get to menopause and start losing it, give us a call at 651-641-1071. We'd love to hear from you. So, Sandy, before we went on break, we were actually talking about gracefully going through menopause, and we were talking about all the factors that are involved with such as self-esteem and diet, but also you brought up the fact that women really need a good support system.
Absolutely.
To go through menopause.
Yeah. It's so important. I think we learn from each other. That's how women figure out how to best do these life transitions. And when I do notice a big change or a big difference in my patients who are doing this with friends or a peer group at work or, you know, whoever those sisters are who help them through the tough times, and people who have to do it alone. There's a big difference in being able to get all the information that you need and try ideas out on other people and find out what works for someone else. And because it's a different story for every single woman, what they're going to experience and how they experience it and what helps and what doesn't.
Exactly. And I think the worst thing to do is to be out there all alone.
Oh, sure.
Or to be out there with a physician that doesn't understand what we're going through. We're going to be talking about those symptoms in a minute and, you know, what really can happen if you're not informed.
Right.
And you don't have that support. So, Sandy, what are the common complaints that women have when they come to see you?
Probably the two biggest things, if I had to line them up, one would be sleep and the other would be moods. Women, as they get into perimenopause, tend to start having more problems sleeping. Progesterone is important in the quality of our sleep and our sleep cycle. And so women don't sleep as deeply. And there have been, I'm sure there have been a lot, but a couple of research studies I'm thinking of in particular that actually showed women's brain waves during sleep and what happens when their hormones are out of balance. And they actually rise to the surface or almost awake up to 60 or 90 times a night. So you can imagine if you're sleeping so lightly that you're, you know, arousing all night long, we feel tired. And so fatigue is a big complaint of women in perimenopause and menopause. Mood swings.
And then we know that sleep affects everything.
Oh, you
bet.
It's
like there is no part of our life that sleep doesn't affect.
Right. And so it makes the mood issues even worse. Progesterone also is very important with mood. It acts as a mood stabilizer and a mood enhancer in our bodies. So once we get to the point where we are ovulating less often and then not at all, our body's not putting out progesterone in nearly the amounts that it was before, and we start having more mood issues, both extremes, either irritability, anger out of proportion to what's going on, you know, more the anger end of it, to the other side, which is low mood, depression, weepiness. So those are are two big areas. Hot flashes, of course, are very quality of life diminishing for a lot of women. They can be very disruptive day and night. And lack of libido is another one that you don't hear women talk about a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But I would say the majority of the women that I see have a an impact on their interest and sexual desire as they go through perimenopause.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if there's any men listening to our show that have wives in menopause with that going on, they would love to have them come and see you at the clinic.
Right.
Right?
Well, no, I was just going to say they often don't realize for a lot of these things that they are hormonal and that there are things, they happen because we are running out of hormones, and there are things that can be helpful.
And Sandy, is it, because you've talked about progesterone several times here now, is it progesterone that actually depletes initially or first?
It seems to be that the earlier symptoms tend to be more progesterone related, including the changes in our menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. Those are much more influenced by the lack of progesterone, and the estrogen symptoms tend to follow later.
Okay. Okay. Well, we actually have a caller on the line.
Okay.
So, Chris?
Yes.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, my question is, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I've had it for a couple of years now.
Okay.
And I guess I want to know what I have to look forward to with menopause and rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, that's a broad question, Chris, that I'm not sure I can really answer directly.
Okay.
I do have some patients in my practice who have rheumatoid arthritis, but I don't know that we really know that there's a direct impact on the rheumatoid arthritis from the changes with the hormones.
Right.
You know, certainly I think it becomes maybe even more important when you have other health issues going on to take a look at hormone balance and making sure that you're doing absolutely all that you can with nutrition and exercise and sleep to keep yourself very healthy as you deal with the other questions of the rheumatoid arthritis in your life.
And Chris, from a nutrition standpoint, I think that the focus that you need to have is like decreasing that inflammation as much as you can.
Right.
And so that you want to get all the sugar out of your diet if you can.
All of it?
All of it.
Oh, come on.
sugar and high blood sugars and high insulin levels cause inflammation for us. The other thing you want to do is make sure that you get all of the unhealthy fats out of your diet and incorporate olive oil, coconut oil, butter, nuts and seeds, avocados, real olives, and just get all those trans fats out, because the more you can get down the inflammation, the better you're going to feel and the better menopause is going to go for you too.
So trans fats have a big issue with it.
Absolutely. They're very inflammatory.
Yeah, see, I'm still learning about it as I go along here.
Yeah. We actually have a wonderful class, Chris, if you want to go to our website at weight and spelled out andwellness.com. And the class that you want to look for is pain and inflammation.
Okay.
And then it's a 2-hour class done in the community. It only costs about $29. And you can really find out, you can make a significant impact on your rheumatoid arthritis from...
Oh, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
A lot. All right, well, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for your call.
Bye, Chris.
Bye-bye. Stay dry now. Oh, it's already time for another break.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Is it time you found a new approach to an old health problem? Nutritional Weight and Wellness offers classes and consultations to address everything from weight loss to diabetes to depression. Just choose the format and location that best meets your needs. You can count on a warm reception and sound nutritional advice from their caring, committed staff. First, envision taking a class with a group of people who are also health-minded as you learn to eat in a way that makes you feel better today and builds a foundation for a healthier tomorrow. Next, imagine that you're meeting individually with a nutritionist to discuss your health concerns. You leave with a personalized eating plan that fits your lifestyle and strategies to implement it. Now, don't you feel good about having made this investment in yourself? Nutritional Weight and Wellness invites you to call them at 651-699-3438. Offices conveniently located in St. Paul, Wyzetta, and White Bear Lake.
Call Nutritional Weight and Wellness today, 651-699-3438. That's 651-699-3438.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutrition educator. Our topic today is menopause, and my special guest is Sandy Greenquist from the Menopause Center at United Hospital. If you have any questions for us today about menopause or nutrition or hormones, please give us a call at 651-641-1071. And Sandy, before break, we were talking about the symptoms of you know, why people come to see you.
Right.
One of them was sleep, and we actually have a caller on the line that wants to talk to us about that.
So. Oh, good.
Jody?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I was curious about is the insomnia, or the especially the type where you're waking up early and unable to get back to sleep, you know, starting around, you know, some people 3, 4 in the morning.
Right.
Is that hormone related to... In your thinking on this?
Yes, I do believe that it is. I hear that a lot from women, and it's a pretty common experience, unfortunately, for perimenopausal and menopausal women. Between 1 and 4 o'clock in the morning, and then not being able to go back to sleep, and it does seem to be especially related to progesterone. Some women wake during the night because they're having hot flashes, and so they get too warm, and that wakes them up. But for a lot of women, there won't be hot flashes associated at all. They just pop awake and then have a really hard time going back to sleep.
So does supplementation of progesterone, say any of the creams, or are you finding a supplement or anything that is helping that aspect? Or is it more of a, you have to look at the treatment as a whole, and this is just one of the side effects that can be helped?
Using progesterone, whether it's a cream or, you know, any of the forms of the bioidentical type progesterone, the progesterone that's exactly like your own body made,
mm-hmm.
That can be very helpful. I have a lot of patients who have, come back and are sleeping again for the first time, or sleeping through the night again for the first time in a long time. And that can be addressed discreetly. It doesn't have to be, you know, that you're having a whole battery of symptoms and we're looking at all of those together. For some women, sleep really is the main problem, and that's what we're addressing, and most often with progesterone.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Jody. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another question here, Sandy. Tina?
Yes?
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Tina. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah. Am I live right now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. I am about to have surgery. I have a diverticulosis that's been just out of control for about 5 years. So they're going to do a hemicolectomy, and at the same time, they found out that it's all scarred down to my uterus, so they're going to have to do a hysterectomy at the same time. and probably a total hysterectomy. So then I will go into surgical menopause at age 40.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, nutritionally, how can I help myself get through this to heal faster? And, you know, I know that there's going to be a whole lot of changes in a rapid succession.
Yeah, that's very true, Tina. And, well, when we look at, now you have endometriosis, is that what you said?
Diverticulosis.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. And you have that and it's affected, it's done scar, you have scar tissue.
Correct.
Okay. I see. All right. Well, one of the things that we want to, and how is your diet? I mean, what are you eating now?
Diet is not too good because I'm trying to do a lot of high fiber and then I have episodes because of the bowel issue. I'll have episodes of constipation and then diarrhea and then, you know, goes back and forth. It's like a total liquid diet and then a high fiber diet.
Got it.
It's crazy. It's really hard to, it's been very hard.
Yeah. So Tina, let me ask you, do you eat bread and wheat?
I've been trying to cut back on that because I know that gluten, someone mentioned to me that I should stay away from the gluten stuff, but I switched from regular milk to soy milk. And I don't eat very much bread, but I do eat some.
Yeah, I think with diverticulosis, one of the things you really want to do is eliminate gluten as much as possible.
Okay.
The other thing that you need for healing is you need some good omega-3 fatty acids. And you really need to have the good fats.
Like the olive oil and the butter.
Yeah.
That we're talking about with the other lady.
Right. Let's get rid of all the trans fats. But the other huge thing that you need is you need a replacement of good bacteria in your intestines. So if
I'm already taking that, the probiotic.
Yeah.
I'm already doing that.
You're already doing that. That's good. Mm-hmm. And is there lots of bifidobacteria in there? Because that's 80% of what's in your intestines. Where are you getting your bacteria, your probiotics?
You mean the pills? Where am I getting them?
Yeah.
From a nutritionist that I see. She's a chiropractor, but she also does nutritional healing.
Okay.
And so it's pretty expensive, but it's been good. And then I eat yogurt whenever I can, which I know has milk products in it, but it's like you can't get the antibiotic or probiotic without eating yogurt.
Right.
And so I do eat yogurt, and then, of course, if I drink milk, it's not, but it's the soy milk.
Okay. Okay, well, that sounds very appropriate. You know, I would just really cut out as much gluten as you possibly can because that's very, very hard, especially when our systems are already diseased like yours are. That's very difficult for us to digest. Gluten is kind of very well named. It's just, as a kid, did you ever take a piece of white bread and make a ball out of the center of it?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It kind of sticks together? Well, that's what gluten does, and it does the same thing in your system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get as much of that out of your diet as possible, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, I think, I've been trying to do that for years, and I continuously get these inflammation episodes, and then because of the inflammation, that's what's made all the scarring.
Yeah.
And so now I'm kind of at almost a point of no return. They've actually scheduled the surgery, which is mortifying. But the thing that's also scary to me and why this stuff started with me with you today was you're talking about menopause and
and
surgically that's what's going to happen. And
right.
So do I do hormone replacement therapy? What are your recommendations for that?
I think you certainly need to sit down and talk with somebody, Tina, about just exactly what that means to you. Because if they are indeed going to take your ovaries as well, of course, that has big ramifications for long-term health and long-term health maintenance. When you start thinking about cardiac protection and your bones and your brain and your vagina and your bladder and so on and so on and so on. Hormones play an enormous role in a variety of the systems or most of the systems in our bodies. So especially when you have a total hysterectomy at such a young age, it's really important to gather all that information as it applies to you specifically and then make an informed decision about how to go forward.
And Tina, I'm sorry, we have to take a break right now, but let me give you the phone number of our office, and they can give you Sandy's number and mine, and, you know, we'll be happy to talk to you.
Oh, okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's 651 699 3438.
Okay.
Because you need more information than we can just give you on the show, and we have to take a break. But thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
And good luck to you.
Our prayers are with you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Congratulations! It's a new addition. A beautiful new office. The nutrition experts at Nutritional Weight and Wellness have helped thousands of people make healthy, even life-altering changes in the way that they eat and the way that they feel. And now it's more convenient than ever to tap into their expertise. Nutritional Weight and Wellness opens a third location on February 5th, located in beautiful White Bear Lake. Go Bears! Just like at the offices in St. Paul and Wayzata, this office will be a place for individual nutrition consultations and for nutrition classes. Stop in and visit the newest office on Linden Avenue, just off County Road E, a few blocks east of Highway 61. If you live in the North Metro, here's one more reason to work with Nutritional Weight and Wellness. They're smart, helpful, provide great motivation, and now they're convenient, too. Find out more about the consultation and classes in St. Paul, Wayzata, and in White Bear Lake at their website. It's weightandwellness.com for the nutrition experts at Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutrition educator, and we're having a real-life conversation about menopause today with Sandy Greenquist, the menopause expert from the Menopause Center at United Hospital. And Sandy, before we went on break, we were talking about many of the symptoms of menopause, and we were talking about sleep. We were actually talking about, you know, with a lady that's going to have a surgical hysterectomy, which hopefully we'll get to that later. But you and I are having a wonderful two-part class at our St. Paul location at 708 South Cleveland. And so if you are having menopausal symptoms or perimenopausal or are younger, heaven forbid, that would be great, and just want to prepare yourself to gracefully go through this powerful period in your life, please join us for this two-part class. It's actually on Saturday afternoons from 1 to 3. The first class is April 14th. The second class is April 21st, and that's from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. And to register for that class, I don't even know the price of it. Do you remember?
$50, I believe, for the two classes together.
Yep. So we would like to have a wonderful support group there. And really, we do a lot of connecting in those two Saturdays.
Yes.
So at 651-699-3438, call that number and register and join Sandy and I in the middle of April. So, Sandy, we have a couple more callers here. And Patty, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question about how long can I continue taking progesterone, say, after my hot flashes are over?
There's really not a known time limit on how long you can take progesterone. The main reason, if a woman has a uterus and she's using estrogen, then definitely she needs to be taking progesterone for as long as she's on estrogen to protect her uterus. But if we're looking at progesterone specifically for symptoms, so you're taking progesterone for sleep or mood in particular, then very often by the time a woman gets into her late 50s, early 60s, those symptoms will really start to go away, and she can begin to slowly but surely wean down to lower levels and then off of her progesterone if she should choose. But often that will take into, the early 60s or so before you can do that completely.
I have tapered off, and I thought for a while I was off totally, and I thought possibly there were maybe more benefits. I felt better with it than without it. So that's why I was wondering, well, how long should I continue this? I did not have return of hot flashes when I was off of it.
Right. But a lot of women do find that they feel better when they're on progesterone, and I think that's due, in at least in large part, because it is a mood stabilizer and a mood enhancer, and women do say they feel better on it. And also the fact that it impacts the quality of sleep, and so we feel better because we're getting better rest. And so if that's the case for you, then you certainly can keep right on taking it.
And are there just the amounts that are on the regular bottle is enough? I know they do say to stop a couple weeks on and then off, or is it just sort of whatever anybody feels like doing? I never really could realize the amounts.
Yeah, there are various ways to do it. And what's probably the best recommendation is that at least four times a year that you come off of the progesterone for 10 to 12 days. And but otherwise, you can take it continuously, especially if you're treating symptoms. I mean, you want to keep as steady a blood level as possible. And the dosage really depends on your symptoms. And if you want to be on the lowest dose that treats the symptoms, so it's very individual, one woman to the next, of what that will be. And especially if you're talking about, you know, whether it's cream or pills or drops under your tongue, it's a little hard to be too specific because it is so individual.
Right. All right. Very good. Yeah, I realize that it's kind of open-ended there, and you just have to regulate it yourself, depending on how you feel. So thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Patty. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we have Diane on the line. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Wendy and Sandy.
Yes.
My question is, you had mentioned before lowered libido.
Yes.
I am 55, postmenopausal for 4 years now, and I have absolutely no libido.
Yes.
Is that normal?
It's a very common complaint, Diane. It's not something that we tend to hear about or read about.
Or a lot of people talk about.
Yeah, exactly. But I will tell you that more than 9 out of 10, if that's possible, women who I see and have seen over the last 18 years or so, that's the case, that we go through what can be in a very extended period of time where the libido is just flat. A lot of women will say it's just like a light switch got flicked off.
Absolutely.
And it makes perfectly good sense because our ovaries produce half of our body's testosterone, and testosterone creates libido.
Mm-hmm.
So as your ovaries slow down and then shut down, we lose at least half of that that substance that was creating our sex drive before.
Mm-hmm.
Progesterone is a precursor to testosterone, so it can be helpful in boosting libido. But for a lot of women, supplementing testosterone really is the best avenue to helping.
Okay, and how do you get that?
Well, Diane, I think you need to come and see Sandy.
Go see Sandy at United.
That's right. So, and we'll give out her number again, but it's time for us to take a break. So, and thank you for your call, Diane.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Ever find yourself asking, where did I leave my keys this time? How could I have forgotten that appointment? How will I ever get all this work done when I can't concentrate? Do you ever feel overloaded, like your mind can't keep pace with your life? We expect an awful lot of ourselves. No wonder our brains seem to shut down at times from information overload. Good mental functioning requires essential nutrients, especially good fats and protein. A diet high in processed foods and refined carbohydrates can leave you feeling scattered, forgetful, and mentally fatigued. You can improve your mental functioning simply by changing the way you eat. Nutritional Weight and Wellness offers classes and individual consultations that explain how balanced eating supports memory, creativity, focus, and moods. You will learn which breakfast foods give you a power-packed start to your day, along with how to eat for long-term brain health. For information about classes or individual consultations, call 651-699-3438 or visit weightandwellness.com. Office is conveniently located in St. Paul, Wyzetta, and White Bear Lake.
I thought I saw a man brought to life.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutrition educator. Our topic today is menopause, and we have our menopause specialist right here, Sandy Greenquist, from the Menopause Center at United Hospital. And Sandy, would you give out your phone number again?
Sure.
For people, please?
651-241-5490, and the website is unitedhospital.com.
And then they just type in Menopause Center?
Actually,
or what is it?
Does
it?
There's a place on there to click into programs.
Oh,
and
okay.
We're one of the programs.
Okay. Well, Sandy, this show has gone so fast, and we didn't get to nearly half the things we wanted to talk about. But one of the big things that I want to do for these last few minutes is to dispel the myths about hormone replacement therapy.
Okay.
So can you just explain in a few words or less?
Okay.
I know that's a lot to dump on your lap when we have 3 minutes of the show left, but what is the latest research on hormone replacement therapy?
Well, the good news is that there are better forms of hormones available to us nowadays. Actually, they've been around for a very long time, but they have not been well known. They're called bioidentical hormones. They are biochemically identical to our own body's hormones. They've been used in on the Western states for over 50 years, and I've actually been using them in my practice for 17 now. And what we are learning more and more as research is finally being done is that for a big percentage of women, the benefits outweigh the risks of hormone replacement therapy. There are certain risks that we have to take into consideration. We have to look at each woman individually to make a decision. And each woman, I mean, you're your own best expert about whether or not it's appropriate for you. But there are safe ways. There are safe alternatives. And the research that you heard so much about 4 years ago, the Women's Health Initiative, was bad research. It was poorly done and widely disseminated. It was a huge disservice to women. They only used Premarin and Provera, the two synthetic hormones that have been around for a very long time, and the population of women was older, had lots of issues, and so that research does not apply to the
bioidentical.
To the bioidentical and the women who we should be talking to about hormone replacement therapy. Women who are around the age of menopause, they actually gain benefit by keeping their hormone levels in balance and at healthy levels.
Okay. And what about the breast cancer? This new study that just came out saying breast cancer has decreased since we decreased hormone replacement therapy.
That was another good example of headlines only telling you one tiny little bit of the story. And as the story went on, what came out was, first of all, that you cannot tie a change that happens that quickly to a drop just of the hormone replacement therapy. That the drop in breast cancer actually takes years to happen. And that what they found was that it wasn't just breast cancer, it was also lung cancer and prostate cancer, and that the reasons were had a whole lot more to do with changes in detection, better detection, people being more conscientious about their health, about getting follow-up. And so it's a bigger, better picture, and was not because that population of women went off of hormones a year earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is a tie. I mean, if you have breast cancer cells in your body, estrogen will make them grow faster, any form of estrogen. But most of us don't have those breast cancer cells, and estrogen does not create breast cancer. So we are not at risk by using the hormone replacement therapy.
The bioidentical ones.
Exactly.
Right. And so when a doctor tells, like this just happened, one of my clients to stay on birth control pills because of all the wonderful effects from that, would you agree with that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Birth control pills are 5 to 6 times stronger than hormone replacement, and they're all synthetic.
So we don't want those.
No.
Well, we want to thank you for being here today, Sandy. We want to thank everybody for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Well, I love being here, and I will come back, and we'll talk about all those other pieces one of these days soon.
Okay, very good. Thank you again for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition.